You are listening to the Fly the W670 podcast, season 3, episode 90, Jed Hoyer at the GM meetings, part 2. Don't forget, listen, download, review, and most importantly, subscribe to the podcast. Follow on all the socials, Fly the W670 on Twitter, Instagram, Fly the W on Facebook. Of course, you can email Crawley and I, flythew670@gmail.com. All right, Crawley, the winter meetings are wrapped up. And on our last episode, we discussed some of the audio clips from Jed Hoyer from the GM meetings on the current players on the roster and their roles moving forward. In this episode, we break down Jed's comments on players' injuries and the team's plans to address areas of need for the 2025 Cup season.
Now, Dustin, another big story that comes out of here and a big story for the 2024 season were injuries, right? Why were they so bad with, you know, why were they hit so hard with the injury bug? Was it conditioning? Was it bad luck? We know the organization let go of two strength and conditioning coaches, Keegan Knoll and Ryan Clausen. And when Jed was talking about the guys that were let go, of course he's not going to say they did anything wrong. But I thought that was very interesting that they let two strength and conditioning coaches go, right?
Right, and there's got to be something there. You don't do that just to do it. So I wonder if that's kind of a – if that's something that Craig Counsell is spearheading. I wonder exactly why it's going that way. You know, I mean, were there a bunch of soft tissue injuries going on with the Cubs last year?
No idea, but here's Jed talking about trying to prevent injuries, which, again, to me goes to strength and conditioning, but here's Jed.
As much as you can. I mean, we have, you know – real player tracking stuff now. I think you have different tests that you try to, you know, use to determine fatigue. And so you try to use all those things. I mean, at some point, playing professional sports at a high level, there's going to be injury risk. But the more we can do ahead of time, whether it's through activation stuff, like I said, player tracking, tracking fatigue in terms of strength and quickness. I think that's if we can get ahead of it and give a guy a day off or do something, I think that's a lot of the battle.
Have you been able to quantify results?
Well, it's a hard thing to, it's a hard thing to quantify because I think these things are relatively new and, it's not going to be perfect. Like, you're going to have injuries. Like I said, no team is going to go, right, 162 without a soft tissue injury. So it is hard, but
there you go.
Like I said, I think we're working as hard as we can to bring those injuries down.
I mean, there'll never be a time where you say, boy, we prevented that issue here because
that's the challenge of preventative stuff, right? Like, yeah. The absence of something happening is not something you usually talk about.
Now, one thing I'm very curious about is what kind of test was he talking about to measure fatigue? You know what I mean? Like, how are you able to tell if a player is fatigued or needs a day off? We've talked about this with Dansby a bajillion times.
Sometimes you have to get in the way of a player, right? Sometimes the player wants to keep pushing, and you as the team have to be kind of pushing back and saying, we get it. We appreciate the fact that you want to play, but we got to get you off your feet for a couple of days.
But my question is, what he was talking about, some sort of testing for fatigue. What is that? Like, what is he using? What are they using? That would be my question.
Good follow-up question. Get it ready, right, for CubsCon. Get it ready for CubsCon, Carl.
Oh boy, I got a list going. We're going to have to pare this thing down. He was not clear on Nico. We talked about him earlier, about his timeline. Here's Nico.
If you go back now and watch, I think, we knew about it. I think you can see some double play turns. He probably didn't have as much on the throw as he wanted. You can see him kind of running balls over and kind of short arming some balls. So, I mean, I think it's a credit to his toughness that he was able to play through it and play really well. But yeah, I think you could see it on some plays where he didn't have quite as much on the throw, and it made sense right after the season to get it checked out.
So, we talked about it the other day when we talked about the gold gloves. I wasn't upset that Nico didn't get nominated just because you could see he wasn't 100%. The throws weren't there. He wasn't making some of those plays. Had to do with the injury. And so the hope is that Nico can come back and be ready for spring and come back and get back in that gold glove conversation.
Listen, I hope so too, but I think it also, I don't think, we talked about him a lot. I'm not saying I wanted to see him leave, but I don't think he's movable now.
No, I don't think so either.
I mean, if you were selling Nico, you'd be selling him at his lowest value back to you since you got him up here.
Right. It throws off what plans they might have had And so, you know, it's not the worst. I mean, it's not like Nico's a bad player. It's just that was something that they were talking about. Justin Steele, they were talking, Jed's talking a little bit here about his elbow issue.
Justin, it's 2 years that he's had the forearm elbow issue. Have you guys learned anything, or is he doing anything differently maybe this offseason to try and combat that or curtail that, or is there anything you can do?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll, you know, continue to look for answers with that. It's, you know, something that has cropped up a couple years in a row. I think he's had 2 great years in a row, but that's something that's bugged him, and, you know, we'll work hard this winter to see if we can solve that problem.
Yeah, Justin's had some forearms, a little bit of elbow fatigue, stuff like that. So is there anything that they can do? Because, you know, he pitches really well, but if you're going to be an ace, if you're going to be a horse, you know, you need to make all those starts. You can't be gone for periods of time. Ben Brown, obviously Ben Brown is someone that we've had on the podcast. Great kid. I absolutely love him to death. You know, that neck injury was really bizarre, and I never felt like we really got a good explanation of what exactly it was. I don't know if the Cubs know. So here's Jed on Ben Brown.
Theoretically, all pitchers kind of ramp from zero when they start their work anyway, right? Like, maybe it's start a touch earlier, but, like, I think in general that guys start – like, when you think about a guy ramping up, you're almost assuming, okay, he's starting and going all the way up. So I don't see any reason that he would have a – like, unless he has a setback, but if he doesn't have a setback, he's not going to be delayed.
Would you really call that an injury, though, that what he had?
He would.
What do you guys call it?
He had, like, real discomfort. I mean, he was pitching well with it, but he was having really real discomfort. And, I mean, the challenge was, like, in the diagnosis. Like, it looked like a stress reaction on the MRI, and then it ended up, you know, not being quite that. But it doesn't really matter. The point is, like, he was having, like, real discomfort with that injury, and it was affecting sort of, like, daily living. So I think it's not a stereotypical injury we talk about, but, like, certainly he was injured.
Next scan, you're just expecting it to be dissipated.
Yeah, exactly.
So from what we've heard, he's going to be ready to start pitching maybe end of November, early December, which is normally when you kind of start ramping up for spring training. But again, there's still nothing that tells us it was X. Is there something in his delivery that's causing it? What is it? Because nobody doubts that Ben Brown has some nasty stuff, and whether that's as a starter or a reliever, we don't know. It's just, what is that? It's kind of funky, you know?
Right. Well, speaking of that, wasn't there a cut from Jed about another, I guess, you know, failed starter, failed reliever about Hayden Wisniewski and not really giving him and putting him in a great position to succeed?
Yeah, he did. He did talk a little bit about that, but I think more of the issue was that idea of, you know, he was in the role of the swing man, and sometimes that takes a little bit of getting used to. Our guest this week, Dennis Lamp, former Cub and White Sox, it was Tony La Russa that made him a swing man. Sean Marshall, another example of a guy that was able to do it. Glendon Rush. So those are guys that were able to kind of do that. It's not easy. But obviously, if Hayden wants the job, he's going to have to show that he can do it and do it well. But, you know, he hasn't been a consistently strong starter, and so that's why he had a little bit more value as that swing man. One more guy that we were really hoping to see in Chicago last season, and we didn't, Cade Horton from Oklahoma.
He was shut down in August or something like that, but that was because there wasn't that much.
We saw no reason to, like, push at that point. It's like, let's shut him down and get ready for next year. Like, but he would have gotten back right at the end, and there wasn't really any reason to do that.
So, you know, hopefully Cade Horton, we see him make his debut in Chicago 2025. I like the fact they took it easy with him and didn't try to rush him to get back for some sort of miracle run. I think we're good here. The final set of clips we got here is really talking more about the offseason plans. We know who's going to be on the team. We talked about injuries. What are the Cubs going to do as far as offseason?
There'll be a lot of conversations. I expect it to be active in terms of teams talking, talking early on. And, you know, the free agent market always develops later. I think you talk to agents here, but you expect that this is going to take some time. So, I think, like I said before, I think it adds clarity to what we need to do, and now it's just a matter of gathering the information. I think I always say everyone comes here with a lot of great ideas, and they usually get squashed within the first, the first cocktail party, and then you go back to the drawing board. But we'll talk to everyone here. We'll be super active in discussions and see where it leads us.
Super active, Dustin.
Okay. Listen, you know, I think you've said it. I think we've all heard it. You know, show me, don't tell me, right? Show me, don't tell me. Is that where we're at right now? Show me, don't tell me.
Actions speak louder than words. And so the one thing that everyone, you know, with now Cody Bellinger here, the focus on getting another arm, the Cubs pitching was phenomenal. And so if you can add another top line starter to Shota Imanaga, Justin Steele, Jameson Taillon, if he's your number four, Jameson Taillon with the year that he had last year, and then, you know, you have so many options with a fifth starter, then you can use a lot of the younger guys to be more in middle or late relief, whether it's Ben Brown, whether it's Hayden Wisniewski, whether it's Javier Assad. So here's Jed on if they'll get a big arm.
Is there any chance you will go big game fishing for like a number one starter to move everybody sort of down a notch? You know, if Steele's a two and Imanaga's a three, then you really are deeper. I mean, is that something you would tell?
I wouldn't speculate on that.
Is that a good idea? Who doesn't want a number one, right?
Come on, camera.
All right, big game. Some cocktails and a good time. But Dustin, we all know right now what a lot of people are thinking. Corbin Burnes, free agent. Corbin Burnes, pitched for Craig Counsell. So obviously, and Corbin Burnes is represented by
Scott Boras. I mean, you know, who's not represented by Scott Boras?
Here's Scott Boras on that possibility.
With Corbin Burnes, would it be a soft landing for him to be able to go to the Cubs and have his relationship with Counsell, you know, again confirmed and, you know, helpful as he moves on in his career?
Well, Corbin is, you have to go back in time to think about the consistency of the 180 innings of either winning the Cy or having Cy voting. I mean, essentially he is, you know, he's continues to be a Corbin copy of his previous seasons, you know, no doubt. So he's very, very rare in his what he does. He's the foundation of having a number one in the postseason, the only guy to go eight innings, pitched in the AL East, did it highly effective. So these are you know, really talents that do not exist. We really haven't had anybody on the market like him since Gerrit Cole.
You think a good landing for him would be the Cubs?
Well, I would let teams determine that, for not me.
A Corbin copy. How much time does this guy spend working on these puns? Boy, Corbin Burnes on this team would really be interesting. And, you know, I would put him in between Steele and Imanaga, right? Break it up a little bit. But boy, oh boy, that really, really is tempting to look at when you think about it.
It's very attractive, but how much is it going to cost?
Again, I keep hearing about, you know, who's in the market for Juan Soto, right? It's the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Mets. Why don't they have those same questions? How much is it going to cost? They don't care, Dustin. They want to win. You want to win.
I'm asking.
Right. How much does it, again, when you have an ace, when you and so who is the comp? You heard the comp that Boras used, right?
I did.
He's Gerrit Cole. He said there hasn't been a pitcher out here that does what he does since Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole has a very, very, very large contract. Tried to opt out of it, but opted back in it. But, you know, that was, you know, that's, you're talking big money. It's going to cost you if you want Corbin Burnes. It's not going to come cheap. Again,
no, it won't be cheap.
If you want to go bargain bin shopping and get yourself a generic Nathan Eovaldi or whatever you want to get, that's fine. But if you want to go big game hunting is what was brought up earlier. That's it. Now, this is a question from a Japanese reporter to Jed.
Because of success from the Japanese market, you are more attractive ever before this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've worked really hard to, I would say, you know, do a good job with the assimilation process for Japanese players. I think
Seiya has done a really good job, and I think kind of quietly he was a top 20 in OPS in baseball this year and showed had a great year. So, yeah, I would expect that in the Japanese market, I think the Cubs in Chicago are really appealing.
All right. The reason this is important, Dustin, is because the Shiba Lotte Mariners are going to make a decision soon on whether or not to post Roki Sasaki to MLB free agency. Okay. This is a kid. He turned 23 last week. He's only played four seasons in the NPB, Nippon Professional Baseball. So there's some things that have to, happen. He's younger than 25, so he's subject to international bonus pool restrictions. But if he is posted, he would have a 45-day window to negotiate with MLB teams. You saw the impact Shota had on the Cubs last year. Seiya has had some good seasons. Yu Darvish came through here going back to 2008, Fukudome. So you have a lot of Japanese players that came here. They're opening up in Japan against another team that's attractive to Japanese free agents in the Dodgers. But, interesting to see if the Cubs kind of, how everyone always assumes that the White Sox are going to get every Cuban player. Is it possible that the Cubs are becoming a more and more attractive landing destination for Japanese ball players?
I think so. Right. I think it's here. I think it's L.A. and I think it's New York. I think those are the three. And I guess we're lucky that we're the non-coastal destination that they seem happy with. And I guess I'm assuming that the right fielder DH is, talking things up pretty well for us.
Yep. And here is Jed right now on the bullpen that we've talked about, especially a lefty.
Obviously, when we traded one of our lefties and Leiter, it felt like that was we weren't optimizing for, individual matchups as much as we would have been. And you could feel it in the second half. We oftentimes didn't have the best matchup for, for a lefty, especially as you said, Luke went out. So that is something that we'll be actively looking for this offseason.
All right. Let's get that going. Now, this one, Dustin, is the one of the clips that really perked my ear, and I'll tell our listeners why after we play it.
When I look at where we are for next year, I think that when we have multiple corner outfielders, that if someone goes down, they can step in. Infielders, and it is really nice to have that kind of depth. And I think when you talk about farm systems, a lot of times if they're talking about guys in high A, low A, it's great to have that pipeline. But you're talking about they're non-usable pieces in the big leagues. And I think that our guys are rapidly becoming usable major league depth, and frankly most of it's off the 40 man, which I think helps us as well. We have that depth. We don't have it on the 40 to start the year. So I do think in that regard, I think we're in a pretty enviable spot.
So he's saying that his, the minor leaguers are MLB ready. This is from John Morosi. He said Owen Casey is a popular name in early stage trade buzz in the GM meetings. The 22-year-old Cubs prospect is coming off an impressive AAA season, 848 OPS, but does not have a clear path to everyday at-bats in a crowded MLB outfield. So again, we've talked about it with Ian Happ, with Cody Bellinger, PCA, and say Suzuki plus a fourth outfielder. There's nowhere that you can really put Owen Casey. This kid, though, is a stud. I mean, he may be somebody, and the Mariners keep popping up as a team that may be interested in some deals with the Cubs, but boy, I'm really nervous about, the possibility of losing Owen Casey in a trade. I know that's why you have them. They're trade chips. You use them to enhance your team, but boy, oh boy,
man. If they're not going to trade him, then get him up here already, right? I mean, another 90 at-bats, 100 at-bats in the minor leagues, Crowley seems like a waste of time for everybody.
And unfortunately, there's nowhere he can play right now.
he could be your fourth outfielder. He could be your matchup DH guy.
I don't know how much. I like the guys to play every day. These guys are used to playing every day. It's really, really hard to all of a sudden just kind of go from that to being an every other day kind of player. One last clip that I have here, and I think it's interesting, is what Jed had to say about his expectation for the free agent market.
I think everyone is sort of talking about it and wondering about the extent to which it could have an impact. I don't think we know yet. These markets sort of play out over sadly, 3 or 4 months now and not, not a month. And so I think we'll have a better feel if we're answering that question sitting on a bench in Mesa. I think we'll have a better feel for what happened. But it's certainly on people's mind. People are looking at it, and I think we'll find out.
Now, just recently, I don't know if you remember, last season was just nuts. You know, you have these weird ebbs and flows in how the offseason plays out. Last season, remember the Boris Five, Blake Snell, Cody Bellinger, Jordan Montgomery, Matt Chapman, and J.D. Martinez? They didn't sign until spring training was underway. Everything right. was so late developing. Now, if you listen to the Baseball Tonight podcast with Jeff Passan and Buster Olney, they were predicting a lot of action this offseason, especially in the winter meetings. Now, Dustin, you and I, we covered the winter meetings for the Fly the W podcast, and oh my God, was it boring. So hopefully there will be actual moves made at the winter meetings this year, right?
Yeah, it was boring. You're right about that.
Well, we'll see what happens, but hopefully the Cubs will be right in the middle. But for me, Dustin, I want Jed Hoyer and the Cubs to jump the market, man. Get started. If you know what you want, and we don't need much, go after it. Don't sit there waiting on your hands. Be aggressive.